break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk girls hockey. We've got several coaches in. It was not an easy process. We'll talk to the coaches how they were overcome the obstacles that it took to get the girls on the ice and the success that they are having. Matt Collar is next with 2020 Sports. Sorry, I've just got to grind it out to some metal. Thank you, Matt Cow. He knows me very well. Inside High School Sports, Tony Caligiuri, Sean Brusso. We are getting ready to talk about Girls Federation Hockey. And joining us in studio, Chris Malicki, Monsignor Martin, Rick Hopkins, who's the assistant chairman, coaches the Williamsville team, Jim Ryan from the Amherst/Sweet Home squad in studio to talk about girls hockey. But first, we want to thank Bill Pavone, one of my Facebook friends who helped set all of this up through chat and back. See, it pays to be on Facebook. Talking back and forth about girls hockey. He says, hey, you know, come on, give the girls some exposure. I says, all right, let's do it. He set us up with our wonderful coaches who were kind enough to come in. And if you've heard the name Bill Pavone, you might know the name of Chili Billy's Ice Cream. So keep that in mind. Rick Hopkins, we're going to start off with you. You're the assistant chairman, and we also used to play softball back in the day. Your wife, when WBEN and 102.5 were located on Elmwood Avenue, I used to had the pleasure of working with your wife. So I've known you going back a few years, and it's great to have you in studio. I do recall when all this was getting going that there were a lot of hurdles for you guys to cross, especially financial hurdles in convincing districts that putting in sponsoring girls is a great idea. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, it was a long, long road. It took about 6.5 years to make it all happen. I was at a travel tournament down in Ithaca 6.5 years ago and was approached by a gal named Mary Granger, who had actually started the other girls. There is another varsity league in the state that started back in 1998, and they were looking to expand to Western New York. So she kind of planted the seed and said, well, you know, why is Nichols the only school up there that's playing varsity hockey with all the travel programs you have and all the youth and house leagues that you have? So I came back and through my connections with the Great Lakes Girls Hockey League, was able to talk to some other people that I knew shared the same passion for ice hockey and had, you know, daughters playing or were just big girls hockey fans. And, you know, they hit the ground running and went to their school boards. And, you know, Dr. Jim Russin from Williamsville had a big part of it. He got some exhibition games slated for us at the Pepsi Center 3 years ago that really showed anyone that had any doubt about the playing ability that these girls, you know, certainly could play, and that the interest was there, and the passion and the sustainability. And but, you know, it took some convincing, and, you know, the success of the Boys Federation certainly helped as well. I mean, they started back with only 8 teams in 1990, and I think they're up to 26 now. So we looked at the districts that had boys teams and knew that there was enough girls playing there, either, you know, house league hockey or travel, that we could make it happen numbers-wise. The other piece of it was the financial and, you know, finding the ice time, which we were able to overcome those hurdles. And it's amazing. Programs like Jim's at Amherst Sweet Home, you know, fully funded by the players and the parents, were the other programs, Kenmore and West Seneca and Williamsville, are funded by the school district itself. So it was a long road. This is our second year. We didn't lose any teams, which was a huge, huge thing. We didn't gain any, which, you know, we hope to expand and get bigger every year. But the girls can play, and they're having a blast in the youth leagues. The other commissioners I've spoken to that run the youth leagues, the numbers are up for girls playing youth hockey.
And that's great, because that's the feeder for you guys.
Absolutely. And the level of play is outstanding, very competitive games. And, you know, the first season went real well. 3 or 4 of our playoff games were decided by a goal. One of them was in overtime. 2 of them went to overtime, actually. And this year is the same. You know, there's Lancaster is struggling a little bit, but hats off to them. They're the only school district going it alone, where all the other 6 teams are combined. But we're making it work, and it's a tribute to the parents that went out, like Bill Pavone over here in Kenmore. Isabel Posner got Amherst and Sweet Home kind of up and running, and Helen Miaski in Williamsville, and Anne-Marie Gajewski with the Monsignor Martins. I mean, that was a big project in itself, getting, you know, 12 Catholic schools or 10 Catholic schools to agree to make it happen. So 2 years in, it's going strong, and we're looking to expand. Maybe the city of Buffalo next year has talked about a team, and we're hoping Rochester jumps in because they were kind of a couple years ahead of us. They had an exhibition game 7 years ago, and I guess the financial tough times hit Rochester a little before Buffalo, and they haven't been able to get teams up and running in Rochester. But the seven teams we have here are very competitive, and it's an exciting hockey. If you've never seen girls hockey, it's more of a finesse game than the boys because there's no body checking allowed.
I mean,
there is incidental contact here and there, but you know, pretty freewheeling, wide open skating because of the lack of body contact.
More offensive or defensive minded are the girls?
I knew
you guys could jump in on this.
It depends on the game and, you know, the style, right?
How many teams are in right now?
We have seven teams.
Seven teams. And how many games do they play?
We play each other three times for a total of 18 regular season games, and then we have a full playoff format where the top team gets a bye, and then we have the other six playing a quarterfinal, and then the semis and the championship. And we're hoping down the road there'll be a state championship taking on the winner from the other league in the state. But, you know, the teams get to know each other pretty well, and that's another thing that's kind of unique about it. You play teams three times, you get to know them, and what's real interesting, a lot of the girls that are at different high schools are teammates for their travel team. So they're playing together on the weekends and then playing against one another during the week, and that makes it a special league as well, that the respect the girls have for one another and knowing that they had to band together to make this happen. I mean, there's only seven teams, and they're all sisters, and they need to be a big, happy family to make this thing continue because we want to get up to eight or nine teams next year. We don't want to be going in the other direction.
Are you guys battling with clubs as far as getting girls to maybe, okay, don't play the club team, play the school team?
No, I haven't seen that yet. I think a lot of the girls now, they really want to play on the high school team.
Okay.
I mean, you're seeing, at least in our group this year, we have girls who just don't want to play travel. They want to play high school. It's a quicker season. There's less travel. Their friends can show up. And it's something where they're not traveling every weekend out of town to tournament here and there. We're playing in the middle of the week in front of their friends. So it's something I find that our girls really enjoy.
Plus, I'm sure that it's, you know, it's a big deal to be able to wear your school's colors and things like that. Now, let me ask you this, Jim. You've got Amherst/Sweet Home. How do you decide on the colors?
It's actually a decision that was made early on in the process when they did the showcase game. And this is Nancy Riccio, who's recently retired and was a great ambassador to get this started, as well as she did for the Boys Federation. But her and Chris DeMarco came together and they decided on a cats, I guess, between the Panther and the Tiger of Amherst. So it was a pretty natural fit.
Sure,
we were pretty fortunate with the colors.
Now, what about with you, Jim? I mean, with Rick, you got all of Williamsville. Are you southeast and north?
Southeast and north, and that's a challenge that I think everyone pretty much faces, except Lancaster, because they're the only team, the only school involved with that team. But the other coaches, you know, we're dealing with girls that are, let's face it, arch rivals in other sports, possibly, you know, softball, lacrosse, soccer, and. But a lot of them, like I said, know each other through the house league and travel over the years. And, you know, it makes it a challenge because you're not they're not under the same roof all day long. And I think a big part of it, a team bonding, is, you know, the girls might be, you know, sitting at the same cafeteria table or see each other in the halls, where, you know, I've got middle schoolers on my team. So I have, you know, girls coming from six different schools for a practice and or a game. And it can be challenging, and, you know, we're hoping eventually the numbers are there where, you know, Kenmore can have an East and West team, the same with West Seneca, and, mm-hmm. you know, Williamsville can have an East, North, and South teams, and, you know, Amherst and Sweet Home can divide up. But until that happens, you know, you're seeing a travel caliber level of play. which is exciting. And like Chris said, it's a shorter season, which I think has been a big help. And the travel programs and the high school league have worked well together. The high school league is pretty much a Monday through Thursday adventure, maybe a Friday game here or there, where the travel hockey is mostly on the weekends. But sometimes you have girls that have practices, they'll have a high school practice and then have to go to their travel practice. So the demands are pretty high, but these girls have, you know, some of them been waiting a long, long time to earn a varsity letter in girls hockey.
Now, Chris, you're drawing from a pretty large pool with all of the Monsignor Martin schools. Are you getting a pretty even distribution among the schools, or is there some schools that just, feed more players to you?
Basically, we, and this year's team, we're represented by 8 different schools. And I have 18 players, and 2 of the schools, Narden and Mercy, have 8 of them. So almost half my team is from 2 schools.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and then it goes down, to St. Mary's of Lancaster, I have 1. Immaculata, 1. Buff Sem, 1. Mount St. Mary's, 2. Holy Angels, 2. And Sacred Heart, 3.
So, now, is it tough organizing practices when you're bringing...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like Rick said, the demands of having 8 different schools that start at, a little bit different times. Some of the public schools practice at 5-6 in the morning. We can't do that because I have girls coming from the north towns all the way down to the south towns. So we have to practice after school. And basically it's once a week trying to find a common time that accommodates all the girls from the 8 different schools at once.
Wow, that is one heck of a challenge.
Yes, it is.
My hat's off to you. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to get to know some of the top players, find out what teams are doing well. And if you have any comments or questions, feel free to call in at 803-0550. Matt Collar is next with 2020 Sports.